you this morning for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. We thank you that when we learn the Word of God, that our lives can be changed. That we don't have to live a ho-hum life. That we don't have to get up to go to work so we can have money, so we can buy something to eat and a place to stay in. Get up to go to work the next morning. Life can have a real purpose and a real meaning in it. We pray we might not miss your will for our lives. We pray we might understand your will through your word, make the practical applications to our own lives. We know only the Holy Spirit can show us these things. We pray we might listen carefully to what He has to say to us. And Lord, give us the wisdom to use in our own lives personally that which we learn. Lord, don't just let us be theologians. Don't let us just know the Word of God. We pray we might apply it to our life personally every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have been going through the book of Ephesians, we have seen that the first part of the book, of course, talks about what we have in Christ. And then he starts talking about what to do about what we have. And he said in the fifth chapter, the first verse, to be an imitator of God and to walk in love in the second verse. Then the eighth verse, to walk as children of light. The 15th verse, to walk circumspectly. The 21st verse, he said, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he gives us several relationships. Now, this submitting here means to take your place in the rank. It doesn't mean to have someone to lord over you, but to take your place in the rank. And God does have rank, because He's at the top of the ladder. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are there. Christ is the head of the church, and He is our head. God the Holy Spirit gives us directions, instructions, and the power to do what He tells us to do, what He has instructed us to do. And you know, it's so great to be a Christian because you have the power to do what He instructs you. Other religions, you know, they have to get out and they have to, with, you know, just brute strength, do what their religion says. Sometimes there are things that are very difficult that they tell you to do. Other things are not quite so difficult. But they're still done in the power of that person who is in that particular religion. But in Christianity, not only does God save us completely. We can't do anything to be saved. We can't do anything to stay saved. We can't help God save us or keep us saved. He does the whole thing. He provided salvation for us in total. You see, if we could do one little thing to be saved, then we could go around and brag and boast and stick our nose up in the air and strut. Because there would be those who might not be able to do the things that we do to be saved. For instance, suppose that you really and truly had to walk an aisle and publicly profess Jesus Christ to be saved. All the people without legs had to leave them out. But you say, oh, well, they could roll down the wheelchair. But see, that's not walking. That's not walking. Suppose there's somebody who is in a wheelchair, and we would permit wheelchairs to walk to come down the aisle. But suppose that they were dying. Poor thief on the cross, he could have made it, could he? You see? But Jesus says what? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He never walked an aisle. He never joined church. He's never baptized. He never did anything. He didn't have a chance. Because as soon as he trusted Christ as Savior, he died. That's all he got to do was trust Him. He would have been left out, wouldn't he? Aren't you glad that salvation is of God? Because then we'd have to keep on and on and on. But God saves us. He saves us. You see, when we trust Him, that's not us doing something. That's depending upon Him to do something for us. And trust is non-meritorious. Faith is non-meritorious. Faith is not you doing something. It's you depending on somebody else to do something for you. And we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to die, to be buried, and rise again the third day to pay for all of our sins. To give us forever life. Well, once we trust Him as our Savior, we're placed in the family of God, and we have a position there. We have a position, and we're to submit ourselves one to another of the same kind. And as I said, he goes on and he talks about these relationships. He talks first about the relationship that the wife has to the husband. That's verse 22 and 20 through 24. And then in verse 25, he talks about the husband's relationship to the wife, to love the wife. And he gives them quite a bit of instructions about the husband loving the wife. And then in chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, he talks to the children, the young people in the family. Now, he has been talking about submission, taking your place in the rank. Now, here in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents. Now, this word obey is different from the word submit. The word to obey means to listen and to do. You listen to what they say and you do what they say. Now, it's not enough to listen. You listen to what your parents say and then you do what they say. Because this is right. Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He also gave some additional instructions to the father, who is the head of the house. And, of course, with a head, that would mean also the mother, too. Don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then he talks to servants. Now, this word servant in verse 5 that we want to look at this morning is the word for a slave. Now, so often we wax eloquent on the evils of slavery, and it is evil. But in one sense of the word, anyone who works for anyone else is a slave. And this is really what he's talking about here. You know, there are two kinds of bosses or slave owners. They are benevolent slave owners, and then they are unmerciful slave owners or unmerciful bosses. Be the same principle. Back in the days when the Bible was written, there were lots and lots and thousands and probably millions of slaves. The Roman government had taken into slavery every peoples that they conquered. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this economy of slavery, there are people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, these slaves. Now, they are slaves to some human person, but all of a sudden they become sons of God. All of a sudden they are born into the family of God and God becomes their father. And not only that, but they become a priest and they become a king. And yet here on the earth they are slaves. And all of a sudden, these people begin to realize these truths. And if they had done what the logical thing to do, if I'm a king, I'm not going to be a slave any longer. That's the way we begin to think. But our problem and the mess that we're in today is not because of our economic condition. It's really not because we have spent more than we have taken in. I'm talking about our national problem. That's not really the problem. Do you know what the basic problem is for our economy and the basic problem in our world today? Well, we have been taught that you aren't to submit to authority. To do your own thing. Don't obey your parents. You don't have a responsibility to your parents. In the year of the child, they were going to fix it, and they still may do it, where a parent cannot spank a child. A parent cannot correct his own children. In fact, there have been many cases in our United States where children have been taken away from their natural parent because they spanked them. They have been taken to court. Now, you say, that never happened in Stark, Mississippi. Oh, won't it? You sure? I'll tell you one thing. If we don't get back to the Word of God, anything happens in Starkville, Mississippi. Anything can happen if we don't get back to this book and the principles in this book. It doesn't matter how much you love your child. It doesn't matter how concerned you are about that child's well-being. If my child decided she wanted to go out and play in the street, in the traffic, and I told her not to do it, and she didn't want to do it, I'm just to let her play. I'm not to correct her and go out there with a switch and switch it back on the sidewalk and back in the yard. That's what they're saying to do. The little thing wants to play in the street among all the traffic, we'll just let her play. She wants to play with a bottle of poison, let her play. It's the same principle. You cannot take that bottle of poison away from your child. Let her drink it. That's what they're saying. Now, I know I'm pushing them a little bit far. But we're talking about the ultimate result. And this is what they're actually talking about. There are things a lot worse than playing in the traffic. They may be able to dodge the traffic, but some of these other things that they're talking about is a lot more devastating than that. Did you know that one preacher was thrown in jail because he made his daughter go to church? Right. That's in the United States. Well, you know, we have a big problem of greed. So, we have a big problem of disobedience. And you know, if a child is not obedient to the parents, then when they get on the job, what are they going to do? They don't want to be obedient to the boss, to the man in charge. If they don't have to obey at home, then when they go to school, they don't have to obey. And what happens at school? You got chaos. When they go on the job, they haven't obeyed in school, they haven't obeyed at home, and so when the boss says, now you go do this, I'm not going to do that. Well, you'll do it or you'll quit. I'll quit. And basically, that's what our problem is today. You see, the employer, he wants more profit. He wants more leisure time. He wants everybody to work where he doesn't have to watch them, and they really produce for him. And he can have lots of time off and make lots of money so he can just spend and buy anything he wants. That's the employee. What does he want? Same thing. More money? Less working time? More vacation? More benefits? What does the consumer want? Same thing. More products for less money. Less taxes. All this. So where are we at? Round and round in circles. And we have let ourselves get in this condition. Now, there's some other countries who have wised up, and they are producing more for less, and they've just about put us out of business. We don't get our way, we strike. We don't get more money, we say, well, I'm not going to work for you. We'll look for another job. It's sort of hard. Now, I wouldn't advise that today. Not with the job market like it is. See, we're getting back down to some basic principles. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, you see, he makes sure you understand who you're talking about. That boss on the job, obey him. Now, what is it then? Listen to what he says. Listen carefully and do what he says. Now, it doesn't matter what he tells you to do. You're supposed to do it. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to do what he says. Now, if it's immoral or if it's illegal, if God says don't do it, then you don't have to do it. It's better to obey God than man. But if God doesn't say it, if God didn't say don't do it, if it's not spelled out in the Word of God, then anything he tells you, you do it. Unless it's immoral or illegal. Regardless of what it is. So he says, obey them. Listen to what they say and do what your master said in the flesh, according to the flesh. Notice he says, with fear and trembling. Fear that you may not please him. Why is it so important to please your master? Well, there are two things. If he's unsaved, and you produce for him, you make him money, then he can pay you. If you don't make him money, then everybody's out. This is what a lot of people don't realize. You know, I used to be in the grocery business, and we charge things. And do you know most of our customers thought that we got all those groceries for free? Yeah. We had plenty of groceries on the shelf. They'd come in and get anything they wanted, and they'd take it out. And they didn't know we had to, when they took it out, we had to pay money to put it back on the shelf. They thought that every dime we took in was profit. And they see all that money going to the cash register, and they say, boy, they are really rich. But they didn't see how empty it was. On Monday morning, Saturday night, it did have a lot in there, but Monday morning, it's all gone. And it got to be where there was less there on Saturday, on Monday morning than we took in on Saturday night. And we had to quit. Had to quit charging altogether. Couldn't charge anything to anybody. We were about out of business. If you do not make your master some money, sooner or later, he's not going to be able to pay you. And sooner or later, you'll be without a job. And sooner or later, you'll be hungry. And that's the reason why he says to obey them with fear and trembling. It could be that he might mistreat you. It could be that he might mistreat you. It could be that you may go out of business. And notice he says, in singleness of heart, you are to obey him with a single heart. In other words, realize that God gave you the job that you have, that God placed you where you are for one purpose. That's to be a testimony to him. Well, for two purposes, really. Testimony to him, have something to eat, place to stay, something to wear. And you're to do that as unto Christ. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. You say, well, if I have a good boss, I'll listen and I'll do anything he says. I've got a bad boss, I won't. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether your boss is good or bad. According to the Word of God. Notice verse 18. Servants, same word, be subject. This word, be subject, means to take your place in the rank. This is the same word as submit, back in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, submit to your own, to your masters with all fear, not only to the good but and gentle, but also to the perverse. Now, it doesn't make a difference whether he's good and gentle or he's a perverted person. He says, be subject to him. For this is thankworthy. Verse 19. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it and take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. Why? Because when you abuse and when you misuse and yet you still take it patiently. You know, and there are men whom you work for or you will work for who will abuse you. And yet you're still smiling. You don't know. But what he might trust the Lord Jesus as a Savior. Just like David Crump mentioned this morning. Sometimes there in the motorcycle shop, he would say all kind of things. But here's a great big old Christian. He'd come up there and put his arm around him and says, I still love you. God loves you. Now, this mechanic was under David. David was the boss and he was the one working for him. And what did he do? Now, he could have gone in there and he could have pointed his finger at David and said, you're going to go to hell for talking like that. Even though David was little and he was big, I imagine he would set his jaw and say, yeah, and you might get fired too. But that wasn't what he did. With a sweet spirit and a love of Christ in his heart, he put that old big arm around him and said, God loves you and I do too. Even though you talk like that, I still love you. That's what he's talking about. Friend, that's what it's all about. That's where we are. We're in a hostile world and we're in a world that's not going to act right. And boy, we get all down on people who don't act right. We want them to straighten up. Suppose they do straighten up and die and go to hell. What good have we done them? But if we maintain a testimony, and even though we did the right thing and we are buffeted for it, we are mistreated for it, we are abused for it, and we take that patiently, that's going to be a real testimony. That's going to heat coals of fire upon their head. Turn back toward the front of your Bible to Titus chapter 2. And verse 9. He said, exhort servants to be obedient. Same word, take your place in the rank, be under the authority, under their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not contradicting, not talking back to them, not prolonging. Now, what does this mean? This means embezzling, stealing the petty cash, taking things that don't belong to you. Don't be like the guy that was in the factory. Every night he went out. He went out of the factory with a. He was in a brick factory, and he went out with a wheelbarrow load of bricks. And every night they'd make him take the bricks out, see what he was trying to steal, because they thought he had something under the bricks. And they would look through it, never could find anything. They put them back in. He'd gone out home. Finally, after several months of this going on, every day he would take a wheelbarrow load of bricks out. Finally, one day they asked him, says, "Why do you do this?" He said, "I'm fixing to build a house, Stephen Briggs." Well, he only got a wheelbarrow full, and you know, they were looking for something else, and they just knew he was stealing something, but couldn't figure out what it was. And that's the way a lot of people are. You know, they just keep getting a little bit here from the, and it doesn't matter. Just stealing a little bit all the time. The Bible says don't do that. Don't steal from your employee. Don't steal time. Don't steal his money. Don't steal anything he's got. God will take care of you. Notice also, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God. You don't steal from them, and you do what you're supposed to do, that they might what? Adorn. They might take on the Word of God. Our Savior in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. You see, if you maintain a good testimony to that awful boss that you have, who knows? Maybe you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then he'll be the best friend you got. The best friend you'll ever have. But you can gripe, you complain, you can talk back, you cannot do your job, you can steal from him. And then if you ever witness to him about Christ, he said, I know you. I know what you're like. I know you've been stealing from me. I hadn't caught you. And you haven't stolen enough for me to fire you yet. But I know. I know it's missing. I know it's short. And one of these days I'm going to get you. And when I do, I'm going to bust you good. I'm going to ruin your reputation. Well, if we do what we're supposed to do, you see, then we won't have to worry about that. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. You see, the Word of God is just filled with this kind of thing. Of our instructions, or God's instruction to the servants. He says that as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Let the as many servants, as many slaves, as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters. Now, you say, well, you know, it's okay. If I've got a believing master, I can do so like I want to. I don't have to worry about maintaining a testimony to him. You know, unsaved, I realize I have to maintain that good testimony. I've got to do what he says. I've got to be under his authority. And I've got to really get with it so I can witness to it. But if I've got to say, well, you know, that's no problem. I can loathe, do what I want to do. No. He talks about that too. They that are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved and partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If he's saved, then you ought to even work harder. Now, you ought to really bust it. You ought to do everything you can for the unsaved man to maintain a testimony. And realize that when this was written, you got all kind of masters, and they've got all kind of slaves, literal slaves, that are their own possessions. A lot of the slaves trusted Christ as Savior and became the pastor teachers. And maybe he would be standing up and preaching every Sunday morning, and his master was sitting out there in the congregation. I mean, the guy that was his master, and he was actually a slave. And this happened on lots of occasions. In lots of churches, the master would be sitting there in the congregation. The slave would actually be the pastor teacher. Well, you know the tendency. He gets me all week, and boy, when I get up here on Sunday, I'll burn him good. I'll really rake him over the coals. No, we're all in this thing together. If he is your master, you listen to him, you do what he says, work together, so that we can honor the Lord, so that we can serve Him. Because that's the right thing to do. So we can serve the Lord together, so we can maintain a good testimony. So that we can get accomplished what needs to be accomplished. There might be a profit that we can continue to live. All right, back to Ephesians chapter 6. Servants, obey them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Not with eye service, as men pleases, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do it as to the Lord, not to men. You ladies, you wash dishes. Not for your husband, you do it for the Lord. The dirty diapers, you do that not for your child, but for the Lord. Did you know it's just as sacred to wash dishes as it is to teach the Word of God? Did you know that God's going to reward you for the way you wash your dishes, just like He's going to reward me for me teaching the Word of God? That's right. It does not make any difference what you're doing. You are to do whatever you do as unto the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be a slave or whether he's a free man. It doesn't make any difference whether he's a man or a woman, whatever job God has given you to do. You do that as unto Him, and He's going to reward you. When we get to heaven, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged for our faithfulness to do every little thing that God tells you students. You go to school, you're out from under your parents, they can't see how you're studying or what you're doing, how you're fooling around, whether you're really working. God knows. And if you're going to school as unto the Lord, then He's going to reward you that way. If you blow it, if you're in college and you're spending, sometimes a college, not a thing in the world, but a 4-year vacation on an old man's pay. That's all it is. Well, if that's what you're doing, all that's going to be wood, hay, and stuff is going to be burned up. But if you're going to school as unto the Lord, He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. He says, doing good, not trying to please man, but please God, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive a reward of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Then he talks to the masters, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them. Forbearing that threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Now, you've got people under you. If you are in authority and you've got people under you, you better be careful how you treat those people. You better treat them the way you want the Lord to treat you, because He's going to treat you the way you treat them. If you're harsh to them and you're hard on them, be careful. The Lord may be hard on you. That is, if you're saved. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for this instruction. And we pray as we look at the Word of God, we might apply it to our lives, that we might realize that whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do, we are to do to God's glory. The way we go to work in the morning makes a difference. Lord, help us to take the Word of God off of these pages and put it in our heads and then apply it to our life. Don't let us be Sunday Christians, mediocre, unconcerned and indifferent to the will of God. We know You've given us some instruction here as to how we ought to work. We know this is practical. We pray we might use it. We also pray again for anybody who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray right now they might realize that Jesus died for them, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for all their sin. We pray they might trust Him. They might rely completely upon Him. They might depend absolutely and unconditionally on Him to pay for all their sins so they can have forever life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.